أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Okay, welcome all to this lesson on Islamic mysticism. Of course, we are going to have a very short introductory discussion tonight about the topic, and then inshallah we'll start the real lesson inshallah from next week. I'm seeing faces here sitting in the audience who could very well come here and teach in my place, and I could sit there and learn. However, out of modesty, they are sitting there in on the tables in the audience, and I hope inshallah all of us learn from this modesty and tawadu. Islamic mysticism. Mysticism is called mysticism because it's very mysterious. Since no one knows what mysticism is, really, even the mystics are themselves in doubt about what mysticism really is. Of course, except real mystics. So it's usually attracts people to explore what is mysticism. Mysticism is not, of course, limited to Islam. Every religion, even non-religious people, some of them have some kind of mystical inclination. And that's why it makes the whole issue more difficult to actually distinguish between Islamic mysticism and other types of mysticism, which is very, very important. Also, mysticism is sought for many, many different reasons. I mean, someone wants to find some extraordinary power, or someone, say for example, wants to be in two places at the same time, they seek mysticism. And they want to explore the mysteries of the unknown world of human soul, so that they find some power. But that is one kind of mysticism which could be found in some religions. Well, we have to distinguish that from Islamic mysticism. Therefore, the first thing is that, what are we going to talk about in Islamic mysticism? What do we want? A Muslim mystic, what do they want when they set about on this very, very, very difficult course of a journey which is really, really exhausting, time-consuming, life-consuming? What are they after? And especially, when we come to the sayings of our A'imma alayhim as-salam and also some verses of the Quran, we find a type of mysticism included in their ad'iya, in their supplications, in their words, which is somehow very different from other types of mysticism that we find in other religions. Therefore, we have to find what are we after and what are we going to talk about. Why do we want to, well, if we want. Now we want to know why mystics actually set about this journey, this mystical journey towards the Lord. I mean, everyone can be a Muslim. Someone went to the Prophet and said, I don't have that eagerness and enthusiasm to do Salatul Layl and Mustahab fasting and all these things. If I pray my 5 times duty prayer and I fast Ramadan and pay my zakat and once go to Hajj, do I go to Jannah? The Prophet said, yes. If you do these things, you go to Jannah. So, why should we seek more? If we want to go to Jannah, if it's so easy to go to Jannah, just by performing our duty, wajib duty, why should we seek this type of hard endeavor, which is called mysticism? Okay, why should we do that? Are we encouraged to do that? Because some people, you know that some Muslim jurists and some Muslim activists, they are completely against mysticism because they say whatever the Sharia has told you, you follow and you will go to Jannah. There is no other way. Mysticism is something silly to follow, and it is made up by some mystics according to their whimsy wishes. So, is that true? What the Quran tells us about? Okay, let's see. I've just chosen a sample of verses from Surah Rum, which you can find many, many other verses in the same vein. Now, it is said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ. And one of his signs is that he created mates for you from yourself that you may find rest in them. And he puts between you love and compassion. Most surely there are signs in this. But do we see those signs? Do everyone see signs of God in this? I mean, when you look into such a relationship between man and woman, do you see the sign of God in that? Do we see that? Usually, we see the sign of Shaitan, isn't it? Instead of seeing the signs of God, we see the signs of Shaitan. Now, yeah, there are signs, لَقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, for a people who reflect. So, signs are there, but not for everyone. For a people who reflect. Okay, the next verse. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ. And from his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth and the diversity of your tongues and colors. Most surely there are signs in this. What signs? We don't see any signs. Just conflict, just argument because people are different, ethnicities, racism, this is what we see in this. What signs of God do we see in this? Of course, there are signs in this. لَلْعَالَمِينَ, for the knowledgeable, doesn't come. Yeah. For the learners. There are signs in this for the learners. Not for everyone. If you see signs in this, you are learners. But not most people, not even most pious people. Not even most people who are very scrupulous about Sharia see signs in this. Okay, now, the verses continue. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَابْتِغَاؤُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ. And one of his signs is your sleeping and your seeking of his grace by night and by day. Most surely there are signs in this, of course. لَقَوْمٍ يَسْمَعُونَ, for a people who would hear. Aren't we hearing? Do we hear? If we hear, why, when we see these signs, we are not broken down as the prophets, the awliyaullah, break down when they see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, these verses in Surah Rum are much more. I have just quoted four consecutive verses. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقَ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَيُحْيِي بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. And one of his signs is that he shows you the lightning for fear and for hope, and sends down water from the clouds, then gives life therewith to the earth after his death. Most surely there are signs in this. Okay, for whom? لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ, for a people who understand. Well, actually, the Quran is swearing at us, isn't it? Quran is insulting us. It is saying you do not understand, you do not hear, you do not reflect, and you are not learned. Isn't it? For I think, well, when I look into these verses, I feel the insult. I don't know about you. I feel that Quran is actually insulting, saying that you do not understand, you are not learned, you do not reflect, and you do not hear. Now, well, of course, the Quran tells us that some people have ears, eyes, by which they do not hear and they do not see. It is almost the same thing. What is wrong with this? I mean, this instrument of for hearing, it is working well. I mean, it catches the sound. However, there is something inside which should catch it, which doesn't catch it. There is a machine inside which is rotten and doesn't see these signs. Now, we have, of course, recited these verses several times. And sometimes some of us have felt that, what's wrong with us? Allah says there are signs in this, but we don't feel it. And just out of obedience, we say, okay, you say there are signs, but it's fine. But what to do to really catch that sign? To hear, to reflect, to be learned. Now, see, mysticism is all about making one soul to hear, to see, and to reflect. I think this is the summary of all what the mystics want to do. They want to make themselves hearing, seeing, reflecting. This is what the mystics want to do. And this is the summary of Islamic mysticism. And all these things that we are going, inshallah, to discuss in the course of the following lectures would tell us, first of all, how you can do that. Of course, this is very, very difficult. How you can prepare yourself to hear. There are lots of sounds in this world you do not hear. There are lots of signs you do not see. وَكَمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُهْرِزُونَ. So many signs of Allah in the heavens and earth are out there. We pass by them, but we do not see. There is something wrong. Now, to put it in a very single expression, what is Irfan? To fix one's inner machine, which is the soul. It is broken. It doesn't work. Now we have to fix it to enable it to catch the signals of God. That's all. And this is not, of course, a joke. And it is not an easy task. It needs lots of training. Now, self-training are done for many different purposes. Many mystics do self-training to find some powers, for example. Or to be able to see the future or the past or something like that. Okay, self has that capacity. But Islamic mysticism is not about these powers. Islamic mysticism is about catching the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To become sensitive to those signs. And to hear and to see. Now in some verses of the Quran which are very moving. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. What do you say if Allah makes the night perpetual until the day of judgment? مَنْ إِلَهٍ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِضِيَاءٍ. Who will bring you light? أَفَلَا تَسْمَعُونَ. Are you not hearing? No, they are not hearing. Very simple. Are you not hearing? No, we are not hearing. Yes. This is, I think, in Surah Qasas. You ask me very difficult questions because these verses suddenly come to my mind and you ask about the reference. I think it's in Surah Qasas. And beyond. Okay, this is, of course, something. Catch the signals of God and beyond. What is beyond the signs and the signals that God is sending to us? And we have to catch it. Well, there is a world. I mean, when you get prepared to get those signals, then you have just started your machine. And that machine can now work. And when it works, then God knows what type of things you can see and you can hear. It is not possible for us to reckon what a mystic can see and can hear. After that machine is fixed, that's the soul which is inside, after it's fixed, really God knows what they see, what they hear. I mean, the things that the prophets see, the things that imams see, of course they are the peak, very peak of these type of people. Now, I'm sure some of you remember when we talked about Muqarrabun, and I'll talk about them later on. We said that Muqarrabun are of four categories. They are Nabiyeen, Siddiqeen, Shuhada. And I'm sure I've talked about these three groups. But Salihin, I never explained, because it was not possible. Now, I say that Salihin are these mystics. These are at the bottom of the category of Muqarrabun. Of course, Muqarrabun, as I said, the prophets, the A'imma, Siddiqeen, these are Muqarrabun. But ordinary people also can enter into the realm of Muqarrabun. And that realm, of course, makes them completely different from other people. And the Quran distinguishes them from other mu'minun. However, these salihun, and of course, it's very, very difficult to get into that last category of Muqarrabun. And that's what Islamic mysticism is about. Now, can we find any evidence from our riwayat regarding this type of understanding? Because usually what we say, we understand, is that it's only Sharia. You follow Sharia, you are successful. You follow Sharia, you go to Jannah. Okay, that's fair enough. That's something for ordinary mu'minun. For Muqarrabun, of course, the whole terms and conditions are different. They are asked something else, completely something else. They are given Jannah in this world, and in the other world they are asked something else. And ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. They become members of awliya Allah, the group of awliya Allah. They are very different, and these are actually the true urafa. When we say mystic, because mystic is a very general term. We use it for Christian mystics, Hindu mystics, Buddhist mystics, but arif is a very, very nice term which we use in Islam. And someone becomes a true arif. Now, let's see what's beyond. Well, all of you have recited the supplication of Sha'ban, Munajat Sha'baniya. Now, this Munajat Sha'baniya is something that which is mentioned that all our A'imma used to recite. They supplicated with this Munajat. And it is reported from Amirul Mu'mineen, Imam Zainul Abideen, other A'imma, they all used to do, to recite. Now, let's see what they want from God. And we are told to actually recite it. Sometimes I'm amazed why we are told to recite such adhiya. I mean, it's like if you tell a boy of first year primary school to read books of university. Really, I mean, these du'a are very, very hard. They are at a peak of understanding and eagerness of Muqarrabun. Now, here we are told to do this. إِلَهِ حَبْلِي كَمَالَ الْإِنْقِطَاعِ إِلَيْكَ وَأَنِرْ أَبْصَارَ قُلُوبِنَا بِضِيَاءِ نَظَرِهَا إِلَيْكَ حتى تخرق أبصار القلوب حجب النور فتصل إلى معدن العظمة. Now, these are very, very, very high expressions. وتسير أرواحنا معلقة بأزغوتك. What does it mean? My Lord, grant me complete severance of my relations with everything else. Now, is it good to completely cut off from everything else? Well, the heart, in the heart, yes. We have it in the Quran. وَذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِلَى. Cut off from everything, but come to your God. Now, this is of course beyond that sensitivity, which I mentioned from those verses. And total submission to you, enlighten the eyes of our hearts. Okay, these eyes work. Now, why we don't see the signs? Because there is another eye here which has to comply with what we see. It doesn't comply because it's blind. Now, the dua says, enlighten the eyes of our hearts with the light of day looking at you. Looking at you. What does it mean? What does mystics mean, looking at God? Is this something possible at all? Quran says that you never can see God. Here it is, let us see you. Now, not only we can see you, حَتَّى تَخْرَغَ أَبْصَارُ الْقُلُوبِ حُجُبَ النُّورِ, to the extent that the eyes of the heart penetrate the veil of light. What is it? What does it mean? Now, the mystics, of course, talk about these things. And sometimes the people who are not familiar with this idea, they say these are just made up by mystics. They say there are veils of light, veils of darkness, and someone should break through, penetrate through these veils until it reaches to the very, very origin of the Azamah and Kadriya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, it's here. It says, do this to us as well. Penetrate the veils of light and reach the source of grandeur. وَتَتَصِلَ إِلَىٰ مَعْدِنِ الْعَظِمَةِ. This is, of course, something which we cannot understand. What does it mean, مَعْدِنِ الْعَظِمَةِ, source of grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, when we talk about Allah, we talk about something very remote, not understandable. We cannot know, we cannot look at, we cannot think about. Now, they want to know Him, they want to look at Him, and they want to actually be attracted towards Him. Of course, they have to cut off from everything first. Habli kamal al inqita ila. Give me that severance from everything first, until the heart, the eyes of my heart are enlightened, and then I can look, I can penetrate through the veils of light and look into the source of grandeur, and that's how souls get suspended by the glory of your sanctity. These are meaningless sentences. What glory of your sanctity? The soul, our souls, is suspended to the glory of your sanctity. Now, certainly they know what they are talking about. And if we don't know what they are talking about, it doesn't mean that it is senseless, it is meaningless. Now, my Lord, make me one of those whom you call, and they respond. Now, this is something like prophets, isn't it? You call and they respond. And when you look, at them, they are thunderstruck by your majesty. إِلَهِ وَاجْعَلْنِي مِمَّنْ نَادَيْتَهُ فَأَجَابَكَ وَلَا حَدْثَهُ. You look inside their souls and they are thunderstruck by the majesty that they see from you. Now, this is Munajat al-Sha'bani. We cannot say this is just a story. This is something which all A'imma alayhi salam recited, and we are taught to do it in month of Sha'ban, and I recommend that inshallah you recite this Munajat in month of Sha'ban as much as you can. Of course, we don't understand many of the meanings of it, but we have been honored. This is very interesting. We have been honored that we are allowed to recite such adhiya. Because this is not our capacity, our level. This is above our level. But we have been honored. Allah says, okay, you come and recite this. Maybe if you are sincere, inshallah, I grant you what the A'imma wanted, and I granted them. Now, one other sentence. Most of the sentences of these Munajat Sha'baniya is like this. إِلَهِ أَقِمْنِي فِي أَهْلِ وَلَايَتِكَ. Now, this is, of course, why I have chosen this, because this talks about a different area. One was ma'rifah, understanding, looking at God, knowing Him. The other is love for Him. These two, ma'rifah and love, are the two wings of the mystic, of Arya, with which they can fly. And these two are actually the very things that they are after. They want an insatiable love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a ma'rifah which is ever, ever increasing. And of course, this will happen after that machine is fixed and it starts to work and seeing the signals of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My Lord, place me among your friends. Okay, أهل ولايتك, your friends. مقام من رجى زيادة من محبتك, in the position of one who hopes for an increase in your love. Inspire me with a passionate love of remembering you, so that I may keep on remembering you. وَأَلْهِبْنِي وَلَهًا بِذِكْرَكَ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِكَ وَهَمَّتِي فِي رَوْحَ نَجَاهَ أَسْمَاعَكَ. Now this is above me to explain. If we look into other adiyah as well, of course this is what I have actually picked for explaining the position of muqarrabun. In Surah Waqi'ah we have this separation between mu'minun and muqarrabun, and muqarrabun are of course a group of people. It doesn't want to move on. Who are from awliya Allah. Is that possible to get at that level of understanding, knowledge and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a human being? Now, we wrongly call ourselves human beings. We are not yet human beings. We are animals who have the potential of becoming a human being. Of course, when I say animal, not in an insulting way. We are created as animals, but we have the capacity to become a human being, like the prophets who were real human beings. And a human being has the capacity to become a friend of God. Allah has created us as His friends, and He wants us to be His friends. And well, for us who become His enemy, actually, instead of becoming His friend. Now, what makes these people different from others? Why, in their ordinary life, they can fix the machine inside them and most people cannot? Now, there is a good description of awliya Allah in Nahjul Balagha. And when we say awliya Allah, we use it as synonymous to the oracle, the mystics. Of course, Muslim through mystics. As I said, this is a very confusing term. Now, Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam said, "Inna awliya Allah humu alladhina nadharu ila batin ad-dunya idha nadhara an-nasu ila zahiraha washtaghalu ba'ajilaha idha ishtaghala an-nasu ba'ajilaha." The lovers of Allah, or the friends of Allah, are those who look at the inward side of the world, while the other people look at its outward. People look at what is on the surface. Awliya Allah look deeper. And that's why they see signs of God. They look deeper. But how they are able to do this? Why are not we able to do this? Because they busy themselves with its remoter benefits, while the other people busy themselves in the immediate benefits of this world. We are after the immediate benefits. That's why we always ask, for example, is it wrong according to Sharia to become rich? There's nothing wrong with it. But if you busy yourself with these things, you never can reach that status of awliya Allah. Awliya Allah never think about them. They only think about God. Habni kamal al-inqita' ilayk, complete cut-off towards you. This is what Imam wants. Now, ordinarily, he has family, he has friends, he has social position, he does all these things. But in the heart, he is completely cut off from all. He's completely away and aloof from what goes on with other people. Now, this is the short statement number 432. I advise that you read the rest yourself, because there's a very nice description here of awliya Allah. Okay, I just skip a few other issues. I want you to look at these munajats. Have you ever seen munajat of Khamsa Ashar, Khamsa Ashar in Mafatih? Of course, I think it's not translated. The Khamsa Ashar? Okay. Now, I thought it's useless to translate this. I don't know it's translated in Sayyidat al-Jadiyah. But if you look at this, this is from Imam Zain al-Abidin, of course. You would think that this is from someone who had actually left the society and lived in a cave and spent all his life dedicated completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, look what he said. إلهي من ذا الذي ذاق حلاوة محبتك فرام منك بدلا. Who's the one who has tasted the sweetness of your love and is after anything else? Now, if you are after other things, it means that we have not tasted the sweetness of the mahabba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ومن ذا الذي أنس بغربك فَبْتَقَى أَنْكَ حِوَلَى. Who's the one who's used to your nearness and they want to go somewhere else, away from you? They should be mad. Actually, having the familiarity of the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they want to go somewhere else. إِلَهِ فَاجْعَلْنَا مِمَّنْ اسْتَفَيْتَهُ لِقُرْبِكَ وَوِلَايَتِكَ. Make us from those whom you have chosen for your love and for your nearness, to be your friend. وَأَخْلَفْتَهُ لِوُدِّكَ وَمَحَبَّتِكَ. And you have purified them completely for your love and liking. Wud and mahabba, almost the same thing. وَشَوَّقْتَهُ إِلَى لِقَائِكَ. And made them very eager to meeting with you. وَمَنَحْتَهُ. Now, I skip some sentences. وَمَنَحْتَهُ بِالنَّذَرِ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِكَ. And you have given them the gift of looking at your face, that they are able to look at your face. إِلَىٰ وَجْهِكَ. Inshallah, when we go through the lesson, we will know what these sentences would mean. Now it seems very meaningless to many of us, of course. But when we go through the course of the lesson, we know what is looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَعَذْتَهُ مِنْ هَجْرِكَ وَقِلَاكَ. And you have given them refuge from the pain of being far from you. Well, it's painful. For some people it's painful being far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, usually He's completely absent. Completely absent. We call into the air, we want to cry into the sky, thinking that He's completely away. Because we are very far away from Him. But some people, when they call Him, they feel the presence, and actually the response, in a way, it makes them just break down and faint. As the A'imma alayhi salam, sometimes when they called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they fainted. because they felt the nearness and the response so heavily that it made them to enlighten. وَحَفَصْتَهُ بِمَعْرِفَتِكَ And you have chosen them to know you. وَأَحَّلْتَهُ لِعَبَادَتِكَ وَحَيَّمْتَ قَلْبَهُ لِعَرَادَتِكَ Now, I finish here. This حَيَمَان حَيَّمْتَ قَلْبَهُ حَيَمَان is more than love. It is a burning love which never ever is quenched. And we have this about many angels. وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ الْمُحَيَّمِينَ There are some angels who are actually burnt with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They just look at him in a way that they cannot turn their faces. They are, or we have in some other sentences, وَالْبُخْمِ الصَّافِينَ The angels who are standing in a row watching you in a way that they are dumbfounded, they cannot say anything. If any other angel go and ask them anything, they cannot hear, they cannot see, they are completely absorbed to you. And he says, give me that hayaman. And of course we have some mystics who have felt this type of feeling with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which have completely turned them away. Some mystics actually, after finding this hayaman, they couldn't come back, they couldn't speak until the end of their life. Now, I don't say this is good, of course, because if they have enough capacity, they can come back, like the Prophet, peace be upon him, he goes to Mi'raj and he comes back. Okay? It needs great, great capacity and energy, of course, on the side of the Prophet, peace be upon him. وَحَيَّمْتَ قَلْبَهُ And you have made his heart to burn with your love, with the love of seeking you. Inshallah, I will find a translation of this in Chittik, you said,
yes.
And put it here, and you have a look at this. This is what mysticism, Islamic mysticism that we are talking about is actually seeking. Nothing else. It's not after any type of power or empowering the soul in a way to do extraordinary things, to do karamat and mu'jizat, and all these things are shirk. This is what Islamic mysticism wants. The ma'rifah and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, how they do it and what they will find, this is the subject of our study, inshallah. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه